91.7 FM, WNJR, Washington, Pittsburgh, and online at WNJR.org. Britain's Inglorious returns with their third release, Ride to Nowhere, which will be released on Frontiers Music on January 25th, 2019. We're on the line with lead vocalist Nathan James. Nathan, welcome back to 91.7 FM, WNJR.
Thank you very much for talking to me.
Hey, Nathan, I wanted to find out a little bit about the lead single on the brand new album, Ride to Nowhere. It's called Where Are You Now? It has a very 70s bluesy vibe, which Inglorious has become known for. However, besides the David Coverdale and Paul Rodgers influences, I'm hearing a little bit of Graham Bonnet in there, too. Was he an influence for you as well?
Yes. Big fan of Graham's work with all the amazing things he's done. But yeah, lots of singers. I don't think I have one hero. I think I've got multiple heroes. And I think kind of in my voice and in this album in particular, you can hear a lot of all of those different singers, whether it be, I don't know, Glenn Hughes or Michael Bolton. You know, as long as it's a great singer, I'm all for it.
My wife's previous interview with you here on the Pure Rock Shop, you had mentioned that you didn't get a chance to see a lot of the artists because they were all recording before you were even born.
Yeah, and that's Freddie Mercury's one of my heroes. You know, and when he passed away, I think I was 2 years old when he passed, or one. So yeah, it's. I feel like I missed out seeing them in their heyday, but there's some video footage, you know, so you can kind of feel what it was like, but I would have loved to have seen my heroes back then. I think it would have been unbelievable.
When you spoke to Kara, you had just finished the second album, which was recorded live in a studio. Did Inglorious take this approach again with Ride to Nowhere?
Yeah, pretty much live. All the rhythm is live. So the bass drums and all of the rhythm guitars are all recorded in one room together with the guys looking at each other. And then we do like a bit of post-production. So I go in and do my singing and then backing vocals, keyboards, acoustic parts, which we find works well for us because you save a lot of time and money that way, which means we get to record it at a wonderful studio with great sounds. And also then we can have a bit more money to pay for the mighty Kevin Shirley to mix it, which is very important.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, how is it to work again with Kevin Shirley? I mean, he's worked with, you know, so many people, Iron Maiden, the Black Crowes, Joe Bonamassa, Led Zeppelin, Europe. How was it to be able to get in the studio with him once again?
It's amazing having him mix it. It's just, I think what I've learned from Kevin is that it's when something sounds good, he doesn't spend a lot of time on it. And if he likes something, he gets it done really quickly. So he mixed our entire album in about 4 days, which not many other mix engineers would do. They drag it out a bit. I think people kind of want to make sure they seem to be earning their money. Whereas with Kevin, he delivers time and time again. When he sends stuff back, it's very hard to give him notes, you know, because he's a genius and he really does know what he's doing. And I think the most important thing about Kevin is a lot of younger producers and producers now are trying to find ways of making things sound vintage and sound like it's from the 70s and sound like it's from the 80s. Whereas with Kevin, he was there. You know, he mixed the albums back then. He's not recreating anything. He's making those sounds happen. And I think that's really important.
Which studio did Inglorious record the new album, Ride to Nowhere, in?
We recorded at a wonderful studio in Liverpool, actually, which is obviously historically, well, arguably the music town of the world. It's an amazing studio. It's the biggest live room in the UK outside of London, outside of the big London studios, the Abbey Roads, etc. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it's a wonderful place. We did our second album there as well. We spent a lot of time in Liverpool. We really enjoyed the vibe of the town. We enjoyed the restaurants, the bars, the people. I really liked it there. I think next time we may go somewhere else, just logistically, maybe be in London. Now that the new band members are kind of based in London, it might make more sense to all be in that one place. But yeah, I love Liverpool and I love the studio. Lots of people recorded there, actually. Paul McCartney's recorded there, and I think Diana Ross and Justin Bieber, not that that's anything to brag about.
Are we able to, you know, do they have the old-time tube equipment in the studio, or are they strictly a digital Haas now?
They have a big Neve desk, which has been there for many, many years. I think most famously the biggest album that was ever made in this studio was actually a Coldplay record. It was Clocks by Coldplay, which at the time obviously was humongous. And the piano that we use on the album is the same piano that Chris Martin played on the whole of Clocks. So, yeah, so it's a pretty wonderful place. Lots of old gear. And he actually bounced a lot of the guitar tracks. So he recorded through the desk into a program, and then he bounced out some files, like the guitars, onto tape to give it that warmth and real, I suppose, 70s, 60s feel.
Nathan, one thing I noticed from listening to the album, there were three songs in particular that jumped out on me on the first listen, and they are Time to Go, I Don't Know You, and While She Sleeps. Could you please give us some background on these tracks, as they seem very, very personal?
Yeah, Time to Go was... I think at the time the song, the boys actually kind of wrote the riff, I think, almost as like a bit of a joke. And we were kind of after something that almost The Darkness would record or something, you know, like something that's a bit out there and a bit different. It stands out on the album because it's so much happier than everything else. The pre-chorus is really cool. There's nothing particularly crazy about the song. And I wanted something that people could sing back at the gigs, because I love that. That is, the to me, still the thing I find most fascinating and I'm most proud of, is when someone sings the lyrics to Holy Water back at me or Until I Die. And I think with that song, that's going to do that in the live environment. I think when I sing that chorus, people will know what to do, and it's going to be a lot of fun. So that came about kind of quite quickly. I Don't Know You was originally written by the guitarist Andreas and my best friend, a girl called Heather Leone, who's actually singing backing vocals on the track. And she's a fine, fine singer. I've known her since I was 17 years old. And I'm a big fan of her voice. And I heard that her and Ade wrote this song, and I just thought it was amazing. It was about her life experience, so I'm not going to talk about it too much. Okay. It was about an experience she had had. And I just said, can I sing it? Because I think it's magical. We changed the key, made it a little bit lower, a little bit heavier. The other guys in the band, apart from Andreas, hated the song, which is really interesting. So the other guys did not like the song at all. They didn't want us to record it. And I said, if we don't record this song, I'm going to have to record it on my own, because it's amazing.
It sounds fantastic. I mean, for first listen, it really popped for me. And it's just a fantastic track.
Yeah, it's a big, it's almost got a kind of Queen vibe to it. Maybe a Don't Want to Miss a Thing, big power ballad song, which I just don't think people are doing now. People are so scared of touching those influences from the 80s, you know, and we're not. Like, if a song is good and if a chorus is great and people can sing along, then I want to sing it. And that song was definitely that. I'm very, very thankful for Heather and Andreas for that. And there's also an acoustic version with a piano of me and Heather singing the song as a duet, as the bonus track on the Japanese edition. And that's magical. Like, when I hear that, it's so haunting, and you really hear the lyrics that she wrote, and we play around with the melody, and we put an extra bridge in, and yeah, it's just wonderful. And the last song you said was While She Sleeps, which is, I suppose, our kind of, I don't know, almost sleaziest song on the album. It's actually about someone that I met whilst touring who was a, let's say, a lady of the night.
Fair enough.
And we got talking to her on tour, and she kind of broke down and told us that the reason why she was out is because she had a kid. And after she tucked her kid up in bed at night, she would come out and work. And I just thought it was kind of interesting that that's still happening in 2018, you know. I find it fascinating that people are still having to work as sex workers in this day and age. It's not... I know they say it's the oldest profession in the world, but it just doesn't seem like... Yeah, I find it bizarre that there's a place for it now. I wrote that song about her. The other songs on the album are all about people in my life and people that I love, people that I dislike. There were some special songs on there, especially one about I lost a friend called Tina last year to a battle with cancer, and I had to write a song about her. And Glory Days, the closing track to the album, was written about a relationship I was in, and I thought I had found my soulmate, and I hadn't. And it's about that moment where you realize that someone's not right for you, and we've all been there.
Nathan, you know, there have been some lineup changes lately, and how the rehearsals gone for the new members? Because I know you guys got some tour dates coming up here.
Really good. They're going really good. I get videos we have a WhatsApp group for the band, and everyone is sending videos in every day of them learning a song, and then we send one back and say, do it more like this, and or maybe do this instead. And we're getting together for the first time as an entire band on the 19th. We have 5 days of rehearsals before the tour, which will be absolutely fine. These musicians are incredible, and I've always been lucky enough to surround myself with the best musicians in the world, whether I was in the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, or whether I was singing for Uli John Roth, or whether I was in shows or whatever. I've always been lucky, and the same goes for this band and the previous lineup. They are wonderful musicians, and we're going to show people this new lineup, and I think people are going to be shocked and be really happy.
You know, when I looked at it, I saw that Danny is only 19 years old. I thought, wow, they got a young gun for the band. And I kind of had to remind myself that you yourself aren't very old either. You're an old soul musically, though, right?
Yeah. I feel like if I was 50, I would have, like, retired already. You know, I would have been, like, one of these old guys. I would have been maybe, like, the 73rd singer in Deep Purple or something like that. I don't know. I just feel like I sometimes feel like I was born in the wrong time, genuinely. I feel like if I was alive years ago, I would have fronted a great band and it would have been easy. But obviously the world has changed and music industry has changed so much. And I am fronting a great band, but it just it's a very different time for rock music.
You guys have some tour dates, as I just mentioned, coming up. You have the UK, you have the Netherlands, Germany, and France. Can we expect to see Inglourious on the summer festival circuit in 2019 throughout Europe?
Yes, we are. We're I think we've confirmed 11 festivals so far, which is amazing. It's really exciting. Grass Pop main stage, same day as Kiss. Yeah, so we've got humongous festivals coming up, headlining a couple in the UK. I'm doing an awesome festival where we are on just before Glenn Hughes, who is my one of my heroes, my god, the reason I sing like I do. So yeah, it's going to be an awesome summer, and also really exciting for the new guys who perhaps haven't played these size stages before, you know. So there's that excitement building there, because they're going to get to be on these stages in front of 20,000 people playing original music, which is a very hard thing to do nowadays.
I realized that you would work with Uli John Roth. Could you tell me a little bit about that? I'd known about your work with Trans-Siberian Orchestra, but I never knew that you would work with Uli John Roth.
Yeah, I'm the lead singer on the Scorpions Revisited album.
Ah, okay.
Which came out about 4 years ago. It was really well received, actually. That was recorded live. And I toured with him quite extensively in the UK. And I also did the Japanese tour. And I did the Scorpions Revisited live CD, live in Japan, and the DVD. So, yeah, I worked with Uli for quite a while. And I got to sing all that old Scorpion stuff, which is just brilliant. Like, from a guitar point of view, it's incredible. Obviously, Uli is a master, but to sing the stuff Klaus in his early days was just mind-blowing as a singer.
Yeah, those are some fantastic albums. You get back into the songs like Speedy's Coming, yeah, and all that material from Flight of the Rainbow and Lonesome Crow is just amazing. Yeah. Did you get to work with Liz at all? Was she touring at the time with him?
No, she wasn't. Uli's had some great singers, and I feel very lucky that I got to join that list. And maybe one day work with him again, because there's only one Uli John Roth. I think Glenn Hughes calls him the Yoda of rock, which is the perfect description. He's just a wonderful human being to be around, so funny, so many stories, and yeah, the loudest guitarist I've ever been on stage with. I've never heard a sound like it in my entire life. It's so loud.
Well, Nathan, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today here on 91.7 FM WNJR Washington, Pittsburgh, and online at WNJR.org. We look forward to the release of Ride to Nowhere by Inglorious on Frontiers Music on January 25th, 2019, here in the States. Nathan, have any last words for us before you go?
Please check it out. We poured our heart and soul into this record, and we make it the good old-fashioned way. So if people respect musicianship and songwriting and live bands, that's exactly what we are. And we're British, you know. There's some good music come from here, so we're just trying to keep that going.
Yeah, just an album or two, perhaps.
Yeah, just a few.
Once again, thank you very much to Nathan James on 91.7 FM WNJR Washington, Pittsburgh.